Thank you, Jerry. And Joe, we will see you both tomorrow. We'll talk to Joe in the pregame show, but Joe Siddall is not going to be with us for our broadcast, and we will miss him. The game tomorrow is televised on Sportsnet TV, and Pat Tabler's not in town, so they're stealing Joe from us. It'll be Buck Martinez and Joe Siddall doing the television, so we will have an array of guests here in the booth to help us out in the analyst's chair. Alex Anthopoulos will join us for a few innings. Jamie Campbell will join us for a few innings. Drew Hutchison is scheduled to join us for a few innings as well to act as our analyst tomorrow as the Blue Jays take on the Phillies. Aaron Sanchez, as you just heard from Jerry, against Carl Sadler? Casey Sadler. Who's, is Carl Sadler the groundskeeper from Caddyshack? Is that... could that be it? Casey Sadler, who pitched against the Blue Jays back in Bradenton, and or pardon me, in the opener at Dunedin, and pitched two no-hit innings against the Jays. Blue Jays talk is upon us. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We'll take your calls. We will intersperse your calls with some of the audio that I got from the clubhouse today. I spoke to Mark Burley, spoke to Josh Donaldson. We had a big media scrum with Marco Estrada that I thought was really good. Estrada, well-spoken, and had a lot of good things to say. And I spoke to Kevin Pillar as well, and I got to tell you, it's a different Kevin Pillar this spring. And I don't know if it's an edge, like some say, if there's a chip on a shoulder, if some say, if he's just going about his business in a more business-like fashion. But I get a different vibe from Kevin Pillar, and I think that this might be the year where we finally see the guy who has that career batting average over 300 at every level that he's ever played in minor league baseball. The Phillies are taking some extra batting practice right now. Mikel Franco is in the box, and they're taking it from a pitching machine. So you kids out there, you hit off pitching machines. The big leaguers do it too. Carlos Ruiz and Jeff Francoeur, Ryan Howard also taking some extra batting practice. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Aaron in Mississauga. You're the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk from spring training.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the bench and what you thought of this year's bench and what improvements need to be made.
Sorry, give me that again. Where's Aaron? Aaron's gone. And I missed what he said. A lot of stuff going on around here as we get ready for Blue Jays talk. Tell me what he said back home at the ranch, or were they not listening as well? Sometimes stuff happens, and I apologize. Call back, Aaron, because we're trying to figure out a little bit of scheduling around here. I didn't think you were going to be that brief. Our Blue Jays talk callers aren't usually quite that brief. That's the way it goes in the preseason. So let's go to David in Stouffville. Hey, David. David in Stouffville.
Hi, Mike. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Great job with all the spring training coverage. I'm really enjoying it. I'm very happy to be listening to baseball again, listening to you and Jerry, Joe, and the gang.
Thank you very much. Your cell phone is terrible. So give it to us quick, and I'll try to answer any question you have. But I do appreciate the kind words. This is what preseason is all about, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we do spring training Blue Jays talks, just to get us ready for the regular season as well. David's cell phone, unfortunately, kind of cacked on us. Oh, is he back? I hear more crackling. All right. Sorry, David. Find a good spot or find a different phone, and we'll actually be able to hear you. What I could hear was very nice of you, so much obliged. Brian in Saskatoon. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mike.
Welcome aboard.
Okay, thank you. I'm really excited about the young talent the Blue Jays have, like Miguel Castro. It's very exciting to see players come up in the system and are making an impact and an impression on all the head honchos with the Blue Jays?
I hope so, and that's why they're here, right? All these kids, Roberto Osuna as well, Castro. I wish I'd gotten to see Castro pitch today, but I was down in the clubhouse talking to Burley and Estrada and Donaldson and those guys. But it's wonderful to see them all up here in big league camp from the very beginning, instead of just kind of popping in every, you know, 5 or 6 days as call-ups from the minor league complex.
Yes, and my next comment is Brett Cecil. I hope his shoulder's going to be better, because if it's not, that's a really big concern for me as a Blue Jays fan, and it should be for the Blue Jays itself.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be, and we'll see this week. He's scheduled to throw a bullpen on Tuesday and hopes to get into a game by, you know, a week from today or so, maybe Friday, maybe Sunday. But if he's unavailable for a while, it's a big problem. And just like Casey Jansen missed, the first 6 weeks of last season, that was a big problem for the Blue Jays bullpen, and we saw several meltdowns before Jansen got back that, you know, may well have been the difference between the team making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. Remember, they were only out by 5 games. So hopefully it's nothing. Brett Cecil thinks it's nothing. There's certainly no structural damage. It's just inflammation. And with the anti-inflammatories, he's been able to get back to feeling okay. Really, I think he just might have pushed it too hard early on in spring training, and it was barking on him. But if he's not good, then I don't think there's any question that Aaron Sanchez has to be in the bullpen, at least to start the season. And they're going to be relying on guys like Aaron Loop and Marco Estrada and hopefully Steve Delabar early on in the season. But again, it really doesn't feel as though there's anything to worry about as far as Brett Cecil's shoulder issue goes.
Okay, that's good to hear. And my last comment is, Josh Donaldson is a Blue Jay. How great is that?
Yeah, it's pretty great, isn't it? Josh Donaldson is a Blue Jay. Thank you for the call, Brian. Yeah, it really is something. And you know, I when the trade was made, I wrote a column, and I was trying to find comparable players to Josh Donaldson who had been traded. Players who were first-time arbitration eligible. Basically, anybody with less than 3 years of service time who had been in the top 10 in MVP voting in every single full season they've ever played in the major leagues. And there wasn't anybody. There's no one like that who has ever been traded in the history of the game. And the Blue Jays got themselves one. It is an amazing thing that Josh Donaldson is a Toronto Blue Jay. Brian in Toronto. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Welcome to preseason Blue Jays talk.
Fantastic. Thank you. You know, Mike, I just spent the last 5 days down in spring training, if you include the inter-squad game, and unfortunately had to take a late night flight back with Shai Davidi last night, but, you know, listened to the game today on the radio, and I really thought that, you know, I've been coming down to spring training since 91 with my pops, and we learned something new this year that I thought I should share. I don't think it's widely known by the fans that come down, and that's, you know, the Bobby Maddox training complex. We didn't realize as fans that there's a back entrance where you can walk right in from the park and, you know, come and watch practice in the morning. And that was just mind-boggling to us and incredible.
Yeah, it's open to the public. It's free. And it's about 5 miles away from the face, the Florida Auto Exchange Stadium. But fans who are down here in spring training, enjoying Blue Jays games and enjoying whatever Florida has to offer, can go wander around, seriously, the Bobby Maddox, the minor league complex. You can sit next to your favorite A-ball prospect as he's watching practice going on. You can lean up against the fence while they're doing drills. You can really get up close and personal with some of the young Blue Jays. Thanks, Brian, for pointing that out. Yeah, something that goes untold a lot of the time in spring training. And I hope Shai wasn't too terribly annoying on your flight home last night.
Thanks a lot, Mike. And
thank you.
You
bet. Thank you, Brian, for the call. Thanks for all the calls. We are going to step away and say goodbye to the network. But if you're on hold, don't hang up. And if you're not on hold, get on hold. 416-870-0590. Star 590 long distance 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk continues. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
No one does the Blue Jays like us because no one else can. Home of Toronto Blue Jays baseball. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Blue Jays beat the Phillies 4-2. We're back on the air tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Aaron Sanchez against Casey Sadler. Make sure you join us and stick around as Blue Jays talk continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan until 5 o'clock Eastern. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Tighten up your batting gloves and get in the box. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
There's a line drive, base hit into left field. Smoke scores. The Blue Jays are in flight. They lead the Phillies 1-0.
Kevin Pillar, one of the stories of camp so far. He has played in each of the Blue Jays' 5 spring training games, and he's doing a job. Opening up some eyes, obviously, in competition with Dalton Pompey for that starting center field job. A lot of people want to say that it's Pompey's pretty much no matter what he does this spring. And while it's probably Pompey's to lose, and I'm lying, Pillar didn't play in the game in Sarasota on Thursday night. But while it's probably Pompey's job to lose, Pillar is certainly showing people that he wants to be more than this ball club's fourth outfielder, and he's got some serious pedigree. This is a guy who just hits and hits and hits and hits, and we haven't seen it in the major leagues yet, but we're seeing it this spring, and we've seen it throughout the course of his minor league career. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We are at Bright House Field in Clearwater, Florida, where the Blue Jays just beat the Phillies 4-2 to improve to 3-2 on the spring. Taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock Eastern time. We'll hear from Kevin Pillar. Maybe. We might hear from him in the pregame show tomorrow. We'll definitely hear from Marco Estrada at some point during this hour. Really good media scrum that we had with him after his 2 perfect innings in relief of Mark Burley, who threw 2 shutout innings. At one point, Burley, Estrada, Miguel Castro, Wilton Lopez, and Steve Delabar combined to retire 18 Philadelphia Phillies in a row. David is in Stouffville. David, welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Mike. I was the second caller. Unfortunately, I got cut off.
Oh, welcome back. Yeah, no, that was a terrible cell phone that you had.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Yes, it does. I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad you sound fine.
It's a great year ahead, I think, for the Jays. They have a very exciting team, improved defense, definitely. They got young pitchers. Very exciting times, I think, ahead for the Jays.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, it's important to remember that this was a very good team last year, and it's gotten better. The defense, like you say, the defense is going to be much better in left field. The defense will be better at first base. The defense will be better in center field. And it will be better at third base, not because Josh Donaldson's a better third baseman than Brett Laurie. It's hard to imagine anyone being a better third baseman than Brett Laurie. But Josh Donaldson's a much better third baseman than Juan Francisco. And Francisco is a guy who played the majority of the games at third base for the Blue Jays last year.
Yes, I'm trying to forget that. Yes. One thing I really love about your show, Mike, especially about you, you tend to balance the numbers and the narrative. You do that very well.
Thank you.
And my question is, it's a two-part question. You have a great understanding of offensive measure, I think, and you provide a good education for the Blue Jay fans on that. How do you see the lineup construction happening this year? Do you see it as Reyes, Martin, Bautista, Encarnacion, Donaldson?
Yep,
yeah,
I do.
That.
Yeah. At least to start the season, I do. And I don't know. I don't think that that's the ideal composition of the Blue Jays lineup. But I think that, you know, when you balance traditional baseball thought, you can only ask for so much, right? Jose Bautista is not going to hit second for the Blue Jays as much as the math says that's the best thing for them to do. He's not going to do it. John Gibbons is going to want him to do it because the conventional wisdom in baseball still is that your number three hitter is your best hitter.
Right, right.
So, you know, the ideal lineup construction probably goes Bautista, Encarnacion, Donaldson, maybe Bautista, Donaldson, Encarnacion. But I think we're going to see Russ Martin hit second to start the year. And if he can get on base consistently, then he'll stay there. If he doesn't get on base consistently and somebody else does, then they'll move him. I can see Michael Saunders winding up in the two-hole at some point. I think they'd rather have a left-hander break things up. I can even see, you know, if Justin Smoke winds up killing it this year, and it's a long shot that he does, obviously.
Yes.
But I can see him hitting fifth and moving Donaldson to sixth, which would be problematic for your best possible offensive output, obviously. You want Donaldson to have among the most at-bats of anybody on the team. But I can see the old-school willingness to break up the righties.
Yes, I agree. This leads me to my next question. Using your mind for the numbers, how would you have constructed that 92 lineup? I don't think WAMCO would have been the way to go, actually, if we're going to look at generating the most runs. How would you have done that? Although they did obviously very well. How would you have arranged White, Alomar, Molitor, Carter, Olerud?
That was 93, right?
Yeah.
92 was Winfield.
That's correct.
Yeah.
93.
Well, obviously in 93, I would add Ricky Henderson leading off and Roberto Alomar batting second because of how brilliantly he handles the bat. The thing is, there's such an embarrassment of riches back then, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, your ideal is that John Olerud would have hit second, but John Olerud was really slow. And so you don't really necessarily want John Olerud on base with Alomar and Molitor hitting behind him.
Right.
When all three of them are really, really, really good, right? So I would have gone Henderson, Alomar, probably
Olerud,
Molitor, Olerud.
Yeah, yeah. Poor John Olerud.
Yeah.
Eh? He's always
poor John Olerud.
Yeah. Well, he was great. He was great. Can I make one other point?
Real quick.
Talk about the robot umpires.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a double-edged sword to the robot umpires that I think needs to be mentioned. If we have robot umpires, then Russell Martin's pitch framing skills are diminished. And
strikes are strikes if you have robot umpires.
Player agent might not like that, though, that the pitch framing skills then are not valued anymore because strikes are strikes.
Yeah, but I don't know how much they're valued, really. I mean, this Russ Martin contract and the fact that the Pirates gave him 2 years, that was based on his pitch framing skills. But I don't know that that's a big selling thing yet.
Yeah,
that's moved into the mainstream.
Yeah,
but strikes should be strikes. I think and God bless Russ Martin for his ability to steal some and give umpires a better look and frame pitches. But I'll take pitch framing ability out the window if all strikes are strikes and all balls are balls.
And all balls are balls. Yeah, that's a very good point. Thanks so much, Mike. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the call. There's some good Blue Jays talk conversation here on a beautiful spring day. I'm going to make a lot of people back home mad by saying that it's a jacketed crowd here because it's 22 degrees Celsius. I don't know what these people are thinking, but it's a little too cold for them here in Florida. I am wearing a short-sleeved shirt, as are all the Blue Jays beat reporters, just so you know. We're keeping it 100, representing the red and white. Blue Jays beat the Phillies 4-2. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're next on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing, Mike?
Good, Eddie.
You know what? I don't envy you for putting on short sleeve shirt in Florida. I've been there for spring training. I know what it's all about.
You don't envy me?
No. I mean,
you're
like
in Fort Erie.
I don't blame you for putting up with
okay,
the cold
gotcha.
We have here. That's what I mean. I mean, I've been to, like I said, I've been to spring training, and it's pretty fun there as well.
It's a great time down here for sure.
Oh yeah, I have a couple of comments. One is the home run call today. Love the call, and all I can say for you and Jerry, there's plenty of those to call between now and the season for Josh Donaldson's home runs.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson is gonna have a big year. Mark Burley, I was talking to Mark Burley about him, and he said 40's not out of the question. I agree, 40's not out of the question for any of Donaldson, Bautista, or Encarnacion.
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime you're hitting in the Rogers Center, that's really gonna help your numbers, and let alone play hitting in the other ballparks in the division too. I mean, that's really gonna be a big help for Donaldson as well.
Absolutely true.
Yep. And the second thing is about some of the spring training jerseys. I've noticed sometimes, like, for example, yesterday the Brewers and the Cubs are wearing their whites, and sometimes I see the Cardinals wear theirs and the Tigers wear theirs. Do you think we'll ever see the Blue Jays wear their white jerseys for their home spring training home games one day? Like in Florida?
I have to tell you that that's not something that's ever occurred to me.
Really?
I don't think so. But spring training's different. It's different. And I was surprised to see the Orioles wearing their home whites on Thursday night when we played that game, or when we were at that game in Sarasota. Spring training is, it's supposed to look different, right? It's not quite the real thing. So I kind of like the fact that they wear their sort of the batting practice jerseys for spring training. I wonder if the Blue Jays will wear the home whites in Montreal.
Oh, they did last year. I know that.
Did they?
Yeah.
For both games?
They
All
did,
right.
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
remember.
But I'm
but,
just saying,
but
like,
so I guess they will again. But down here, I wouldn't bet on it.
No, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks for the call. We're hearing, I don't know if you guys can hear the lounge singer in the Tiki Bar who's playing covers, and they're loving it. Now Derek Brandeo, our fine engineer back home, says you can't hear it, but I'm being subjected to it. We're also getting extra batting practice. It looks like the Phillies are just about finished taking that extra BP coming off the field. So the fans not only got a ball game and pregame batting practice, but they got almost an hour of postgame batting practice. So how about that to enjoy while they're sitting at the Tiki Bar at Frenchie's down the left field line. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Thrilled to be back with you after a long, cold winter. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. You can hit me up on Twitter as well, at Wilnerness590. Andrew is in Burlington. Andrew, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So nice to have baseball back on the radio. It's been a long, absolutely brutal winter here back home. So I can hear the batting practice going on in the background. So can't wait for it to make its way back up to Toronto.
Not too far off, that's for sure.
Hey, encouraged to hear your discussion with Pilar. And I really hope it's a breakout season for him. I'm a big fan.
Carl Pilar? Oh, no, wait, that was Pilash. It's Pilar.
Yeah. Kevin
yeah.
Pilar.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, I'm a fan of his, and, you know, it's too bad he had that minor meltdown last year, and I think he's hopefully learned from that. Sounds like he said he's come in there with a different attitude this year, and I really hope he makes the big club to come up north here. But I wanted to ask you a couple of things. One, your opinion on who ultimately do you think starts second base for the season, and then, you know, Ricky Romero, I'm just curious. I understand he was not a non-roster invitee to spring training. Is
yep.
he still considered a Jay? Is he a Buffalo Bison? I know he had the surgery last season. What's his status? Because I think we're still paying him $6-7 million. Didn't know. You know, just curious what's going on there.
Yeah, he's going to make $7 million this year, and they're going to have to buy him out after the season. Ricky Romero has no status right now. He was not invited to Major League Camp. Now, it's probably because of the knee surgeries that he's not fully recovered yet, and he I don't know if he would even be able to pitch right now. If he was healthier or completely healthy, they probably would have invited him to big league camp. It wasn't a kind of a, you know, an intentional snub or anything like that. But I really don't know where Ricky Romero is going to go. You look at Buffalo, and you would think that he would be in the starting rotation for the Buffalo Bisons. But I don't know. Buffalo's going to have, I'm sure there's room. They make room in the rotation for him. For me, that's where he starts the season. And he's going to have to really, really, really pitch well to earn another chance to be in the major leagues. It's telling that when Johan Santana came to camp and when the Blue Jays signed him, Johan Santana's number is 57, so Johan Santana took 57 that Preston Guillemette was wearing, and the Blue Jays gave Preston Guillemette Ricky Romero's number 24. Now, that doesn't mean anything because Guillemette's a real long shot to make the team, and it's not like the 24 won't be available if Ricky comes back, but it's still something. So, look, the fact is he hasn't pitched well in over 2 years. Well at all. Well enough to stay in the major leagues. It's a former All-Star. I love Ricky Romero, and I want nothing more than to see him succeed. Nothing more for him than to see him succeed and get back to the major leagues and be just a usable major league player again. Never mind a quality major league player again. But he's going to have to really, really pitch well, really well in the minor leagues in order to get another shot. Thanks, Andrew. Rick in Toronto. It is spring training Blue Jays talk, and you're a part of it. Hello, Rick.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have two questions to talk about. First of all, or two issues. Alex and Thoughtful, excuse me. The idea, he uses the term fit when he makes a deal. So I'm thinking about a deal, say, Dickey and Tomey for Josh Jonathan Papelbon and Cameron Rupp and $250,000. So my basic guy, what I did is take the contracts of Dickey and Tomey and
Tolley.
Josh Tolley. I know.
Why would you trade a 200 inning starting pitcher for a closer?
Well, if the team wants a closer, I'm not trying to make this deal. I'm just trying to get the concept of contract versus contract. That's all I'm trying to
That's
do.
Not, Alex doesn't talk about, when he's talking about fit, he doesn't talk about how the money fits. Oh. When he's talking about fit, he's talking about how the player fits on the roster.
Okay, so that doesn't mean I have a same contract versus another contract. That's what he means in this case. That's what I was trying to do. He doesn't mean that's a fit, he means in this case. Okay.
No, he doesn't mean that.
Okay.
I mean, there are times when you'll hear the phrase revenue or the term revenue neutral.
All right.
That basically means you got to make a deal contract for contract. But when Alex is talking about what a fit for his team is, he's talking about on the field.
Okay. Can I talk about the pace? I also want to talk about the pace of play, countdown clock.
Sure.
Okay. That's the other issue I want to talk about. I looked back in 1968. I looked at this will speed up the game. The strike zone, for example, I want to go from the kneecaps, beneath the kneecaps up to, I think they said top of the armpits, but I want top of the shoulder, personally. So a guy, umpire like Angel Hernandez.
You can't have a strike at the top of the shoulders?
Well,
no one can hit that pitch.
Well, okay, the armpits then, top of the armpits.
The strike zone is in the rule book is it's from the hollow of the knee, which is beneath the knee,
yeah,
to the midpoint between the armpit and the top of the belt.
Okay.
Which is like around the letters, which is a fine strike zone. If they would call it like that, it wouldn't be an issue.
But people are complaining it's so small. That's the complaint. A larger strike zone, you know, pitchers will throw the ball faster if they have a larger strike zone. And I also wanted to see the mound go up from 10 inches to 15 inches so people like Bob Gibson type era, like Clayton Kershaw can throw the ball very quickly to the mound, and he can go faster, and everybody, the pace of the game goes faster that way, you know. You know, I miss everything. Even the designated hitter is slowing the game down. It's too bad Bud Selig, when ownership, when he was in Milwaukee, decided in 1972 that DH came in. That slows the game down. I like it when the pitchers are forced to hit. This is faster-paced game this way, you know. Another thing I want to say is to make it even better if, you know, Bud Selig's not in retirement now. I like to see all the teams create after 1969 in a 10-team league and see how Bud can run a league finally with 10 teams. Like, so every team like Toronto and Milwaukee, so his great Milwaukee could win a thing like the Continental League or the Federal League. That's what I want to see happen in baseball in the future.
Oh, okay, so, okay, Rick.
Thank you for your time. Bye.
Thank you. I think we got way off the rails right there. I don't know. I mean, it takes a lot of, it takes a very special way of thinking to blame Bud Selig for the DH. I know he was an owner when the DH came in, but he was one of 14 American League owners when the DH, or 12 American League owners when the DH came in. Wow, that whole thing was just wow. You know, the idea of raising the mound, I think I don't want to get back to having pitchers dominate to the extent that Bob Gibson did in 1967. I think Clayton Kershaw is very close to that as it is on a 10-inch mound. And I don't think a higher mound or a bigger strike zone would make pitchers work any faster. I think that there would just be, you know, more outs quicker. And fewer hits, so games would be faster. I think the whole idea of the pace of play rules is interesting. I don't mind the clock, having seen it now for 5 games. Sometimes they pay attention to it, sometimes they don't. Mark Burley actually had to slow himself down so as not to just have to stand on the mound waiting and waiting and waiting for an inning to start in the second inning. I like batters having to stay in the box. I really do. I think that's what's important. I saw an article over the course of the offseason that someone timed a few games and looked at the amount of time during an at-bat that batters were outside the batter's box, and it was about 40 minutes a game. Now, that's not to say you can cut 40 minutes off a game by having batters stay in the box, but you can certainly cut a significant amount of time, and it's just wasted time. And the fact that David Ortiz is thumbing his nose at it, I mean, it's really disgusting. I would love to get some of the Teflon that David Ortiz is made of, that he can basically do and say whatever he wants and everybody still loves him. But this is a thing that baseball wants to do, and it's a good idea. We don't need that much wasted time in games. You know, I know there's a lot of dead time in football. They talk about the amount of time that the ball's actually in play relative to the 60 minutes. But most of that dead time is being used somehow. There's a lot of just wasted time in a baseball game. And if you can get rid of it, why not try? Blue Jays beat the Phillies 4-2. We're back on the air tomorrow, 12:30 pregame. 1 o'clock, 107 first pitch, Blue Jays and Pirates. It will be Aaron Sanchez against Casey Sadler. We continue to take your phone calls here on Blue Jays Talk. First one of the spring, and it is great to be back. First real long one. You know, Thursday nights was nice, 4 or 5 calls, but this is a good long Blue Jays Talk. Sam is in Hamilton. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Josh Donaldson, I'm so excited for him. I'm going to predict right now 40 home runs for him, especially at the Dome compared to the Coliseum, you know.
It's a huge difference. It's a huge, huge difference.
Going back to the pace of play and going back just before I get into my thing, I think it should be grandfathered in. So, like, guys who have over 10 years experience should be allowed to do whatever they want, like David Ortiz. But I think, like, for Josh Donaldson or, you know, Mike Trout, they should just get their butts in.
Why?
Like, I don't know, just maybe respect the older guys.
Well, so, how about the older guys respect the game?
I know, I just something I thought of, but whatever. Chad Jenkins, I know he gave up that home run a couple days ago. Where do you see him in the bullpen?
I see that it's a problem that Chad Jenkins has options. I really do. And it's a problem for Chad Jenkins as opposed to a problem for the Blue Jays. I think Chad Jenkins could help this bullpen. Chad Jenkins gets outs. He doesn't blow people away. He's not flashy about it, but he gets people out. And he could certainly be a helpful piece of the bullpen. But I don't think he's going to be in it because he has options. I think he's going to be one of those guys who gets called up and sent down 8 or 9, 10 times a year. Fortunately for Chad, this is going to be the last time he has to go through it because he'll come to camp out of options next year. But I think it's going to be one of those years for Chad.
Yeah. What about the Buffalo catcher? AJ, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Jimenez.
Yeah, Jimenez. I don't know if it was Jimenez or Jimenez. Were you seeing Kings in Buffalo?
Yeah, I do. I think he's in Buffalo. I mean, there's a scenario in which he makes this team. And that would have to be if Deonner Navarro got traded and Russ Martin was capable of catching R.A. Dickey, then maybe that Jimenez would make the team ahead of Josh Toley. But I don't really see that happening, at least not out of spring training. But he has shown that he is more than recovered from the Tommy John surgery. He's already thrown 3 base runners out trying to steal so far this spring.
Yeah, and he's still young too, I heard.
Yeah, very young. He's got a nice little future ahead of him.
Yeah.
Thanks,
okay,
Sam.
Cool. Thanks.
All right, appreciate the call. We will take more of your calls in a minute, but I want to go down into the clubhouse, and I want to hear from Mark Burley, today's starter. First start of the spring, Burley threw 2 innings, gave up singles to the first 2 hitters, then got a pop-up and a ground ball double play, and that started the Blue Jays on a run of 18 consecutive Phillies sent down. His line was 2 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, no strikeouts, and I was able to have a very brief conversation with Burley after he came out of the game. First start of the spring, Mark, did it go the way you wanted it to?
Yeah, couldn't have drawn up any better. Working both sides of the plate, worked with everything, made pitches. I mean, obviously wasn't dead on every location, but made outs. It's pretty much the name of the game, but overall for first 2 innings of spring, I can't ask for anything better.
And you get tested right away, 2 on, a man on third with nobody out, and you manage to wriggle out of it.
Yeah, I don't do that very often. Usually when a guy gets on third base and no outs, there's more than likely he's scoring, whether it's a base hit or fly ball. But yeah, just to get a pop fly to the infield, and then obviously a hard hit ball to Barton at first base and turn to double play. So again, just trying to get outs, and yeah, I know it don't count, but I still like to get people out.
What happened on that ground ball that Galvis hit? Did it go off your glove?
No, it got foot. It got off the ground and top of my foot. Barely. To be honest with you, I barely even felt it. Some of the guys were questioning me, think it hit me harder than because I guess the way it deflected. But to be honest with you, I don't even feel it.
And then 2 batters later on the Ryan Howard double play ball, you got Derek Barton trying for a job here at first base. He comes with the reputation of not just a guy who gets on base, but a guy who's got a great glove over there. And that was a pretty 3-6-3 turn he'd made.
Yeah, I was thankful because when Howard hit it, to be honest, I thought it was hit foul just the way that out of my view, he hit it so hard. And I was falling through and I didn't take off over there right away. So I kind of got caught in between and I had to haul butt over there. And luckily he was close enough to the bag. But I think we all know what he can do with his glove. We've seen it, you know, when he was in Oakland. And before that, I think it was Cardinals. But he's obviously defensively, he's one of the best out there. It's just we got to get that bat. And I think that's what's going to get him on or off his team.
And Josh Donaldson, another one of the guys who comes over from Oakland, the big trade, and he takes a ball almost out of the stadium in his second at bat.
I heard I was in doing some treatment, and somebody said he hit a home run, so I didn't really get to see it. But, again, we know what he can do with his bat and defensively. But, yeah, he's going to have 30 or 40 home runs, I'm sure, this year, and it's kind of nice to have him on our side.
There's Mark Burley. Kind words for Josh Donaldson and for Derek Barton. And one of the things that I miss doing the post game and doing Blue Jays talk every night is I don't get to go in those post game scrums, and so it's nice in spring training to get a chance to talk to these guys after the game. Later on in the show, we'll hear from Marco Estrada as well. Your phone calls continue at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And actually, before we get to the next call, Josh Donaldson was pretty brief with me. He's a guy who, I don't know, seems a little shy, maybe. He doesn't know us yet. We're just all getting to know each other here in the spring. So It was only about a minute and a half with him. Might as well let you hear that now. Donaldson was 1-for-2 today with that mammoth home run over the Blue Jays and Phillies bullpens and almost out of the stadium in left center field. Here's my little chat with him after the game.
Nice to get that first home run out of the way with the new team?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to find a barrel and, you know, just kind of come out here. I've been able to play 2 days in a row now and, you know, starting to feel better at the plate.
Was that kind of that 2-0 pitch you're looking for, the fastball that gets him back in the count?
Yeah, I mean, anytime, especially spring training. In the season, that might not happen. But spring training, you know, guys are trying to work on their fastball command and fall behind. And, you know, you don't want to walk guys in spring training. So, I mean, he just left a mistake right there. I was able to hit it.
You get to play behind Mark Burley for the first time. He's a guy who every infielder seems to love because you got to be on your toes every second of the game.
Yeah, he's quick. It was almost so quick I couldn't even gather my thoughts a couple of times. I was just like, he's back in it, which is good. And, you know, especially with what baseball's trying to do right now, you know, it's one of those things where that's not going to affect him at all.
He actually had to stop when he was warming up for the second inning to let the clock catch up to him. Right. And just tell me a little bit about Estrada as well. Those were two incredibly efficient innings from him.
Yeah, I think what you saw is, you know, he was pitching a contact and, you know, he got two strikes from, I think he had one maybe two strikeouts. He was able to put a couple guys away. So that's what you look for starting pitchers. You know, when they get two strikes, they can either put a guy away and then maybe when they're 2-1, they can still get that ground ball double play or, you know, just kind of minimize what's going on.
You hit the home run after coming on our pregame show. Does this mean you're going to be a regular guest now all the time and we can expect 80 or 90 homers?
We'll see what happens in the regular season. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
So Josh Donaldson, I guess from the sounds of that, is not going to be a daily pregame show regular. But we'll try to get him on again, and if he goes deep again, then it's definitely going to be something to think about. Donaldson with his first home run ever in the Grapefruit League, part of the Blue Jays' 4-2 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. The Jays are 3-2 now on the spring. Donaldson, Kevin Pillar, and Chris Colabello, each with one home run to share the Blue Jays' club lead. Mark in Markham, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, welcome aboard.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, a quick thought and a quick question. Number one, I'm more of a traditionalist. I find baseball, out of all the sports, to be the innocent game. I mean, it's a game where if it's 1-0 going into the ninth and the guy's throwing a no-hitter, he can actually lose the game in one swing of the bat. That's why I love baseball. That's why I'm coming to the next point, which is, I like tradition. I used to joke with my buddies when we played baseball that we were Nomar Garcia Parra coming up to bat, and we'd undo our gloves, put them back on, put the, you know. I think it's a fun thing. When you're in the stands of the baseball game, I find we know what we're coming to. We know it's going to be not the most exciting. It's not a hockey game where everything's going on right away, et cetera, et cetera. We know what we're getting into. It's a beer. It's a hot dog, et cetera. It's a time-consuming thing. But we enjoy that part of the game. Now, the other problem I've got with the time changes and all this stuff going on, shouldn't this be happening at the lower levels first? Why would you change guys' habits at the senior levels when you haven't worked on the bottom? It's like a helmet in hockey with a face mask. Go with the young ones first so that by the time they hit the majors, they actually get it, that they have to speed up, that they have to do this. But once again, we're doing the opposite.
No, I don't think they're doing the opposite, but I think if they started in the lower level of the minor leagues, then you're going to wait 4 or 5 years until it gets to the majors, and they're recognizing something that they think can be fixed and doing it now. And I don't have an issue with making batters stay in the batter's box. I mean, that's the rule in the books. As much as you call yourself a traditionalist, you know, if you're a real traditionalist, you go back to the 40s and 50s and 60s where a 2.5-hour game was a long game, where games used to be finished in less than 2 hours and where batters just got to it and got down to business. I mean, I remember in the 1970s, Mike Hargrove, who later became a very good manager, but Hargrove played for the Cleveland Indians in the 70s, and he had the same sort of machinations that Nomar did, and he actually got a nickname for it. They called him the Human Rain Delay, and the reason he got the nickname is because he was the only one who did that kind of stuff. Everybody else just kind of went and hit, and I have zero issue with making guys do that.
And I have no problem with that, too, but you know as well as anybody, Mike, that the games evolved from the 40s and that, and you know, you've got relief pitchers. You've got pitchers that don't even go more than six innings now as a starter.
Sure.
So it's a different game all around. So now you've got like three, four, five guys coming in a game sometimes. You don't even have, like we used to watch, it was a beauty to watch Roy Halladay and see his numbers for complete games.
Yep.
Okay?
That doesn't happen anymore. You're right.
And that's part of the problem, which is not a problem. I mean, I understand the way baseball's gone now, and you know, everybody's worried about, you know, Tommy John seems to be the favorite words out there. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I know where you're coming from. Certain little things have to be sped up for sure. On the other side of it, you know what? I'm enjoying the game for what it is, and that's the thing. And if you're going to entertain us, then you know what? Do something in the stands that's more entertaining, you know? Like, do a basketball kind of game, something like that, where there's some open stuff going on. But it just doesn't happen.
I don't know what any of that has to do with batters keeping their feet in the box.
No, I understand. I'm just saying they're worried about the time and that kind of thing, the concept of the time.
Right, they're worried about like losing people because they don't want to invest 3 hours and 3.5 hours or four for a Yankees and Red Sox game and stuff like that. I got to let you go. I appreciate your side of the argument. Baseball, you're right. You know what you're signing up for when you go to a game, but there's really no reason to waste so much time. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about you know, games in the stands or trying to engage the fans with whatever scoreboardy stuff or anything like that. I just think the on-the-field stuff, there's a lot of wasted time that they could get rid of just by making hitters stay in the box. Zero problem with that. We'll step away when we return. More of your calls, and we'll hear from Marco Estrada. Blue Jays beat the Phillies 4-2. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Coverage so real, you'll think you can catch a foul ball. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There's a ground ball through the left-hand side. There's a base hit. He drives in Kendall. And with that, the Blue Jays soar out in front 4-0.
Matt Haig with the RBI single in the bottom of the seventh inning. Blue Jays picking him up on waivers late last year from the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Jays wound up beating the Philadelphia Phillies 4-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls for another few minutes. Let's get out east. Kerry is in Halifax. Kerry, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Mike. I just wanted to talk about, first off, Aaron Sanchez. Really loved watching him last year in his 24 appearances. He was just outstanding last year.
He was phenomenal out of the bullpen.
I was thinking that they were going to just, you know, give him one more year of out of the bullpen where teams don't really get to see a lot of him. Just, you know, maybe in the eighth or ninth inning, he'd only be seeing four or five batters and he could continue that success. I guess,
yep.
Of course, they also want to see if he's Clayton Kershaw. But
right.
I was hoping that they would just give him one more year of looking like Craig Kimbrel, basically, because he was
I think they are.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah, I do. I think he's going to be Craig Kimbrel for a year.
Yeah, well, that would be nice to see have a Craig Kimbrel for a year as well. I like Josh Tolley, but when he only gets to play once a week, how good can Russell Martin catch the knuckleball? Because is it really fair to Josh Tolley to bat, 120 times a year? And it's almost like not that he's not a good major league hitter if he's actually getting consistent at bats, but it's almost a logjam there. Wouldn't you think, you know, Martin catching the knuckleball and Yonner maybe catching a couple times a week or once every 5 days?
Yeah, if Deonner Navarro's... Hold on, Kerry. When I answer your question, you have to stop talking.
Sorry, Mike.
The only way this is going to work. If Deonner Navarro makes the team, Josh Toley, I don't think does. I guess there's a way to do it, but it's really, really tough to have all three of them on the team, and that's why I think Deonner Navarro is going to get traded before spring training is over. Whether it's fair or not to Josh Toley to give him 100-120 at-bats in a season, that's what being a backup catcher means. That's the life
right, of
a backup catcher. Thanks for the call, Kerry. Got to run. I've been promoting Marco Estrada. He threw two perfect innings today, and I spoke to him after the game. Let's hear what he had to say.
This was a very efficient couple of innings for you.
Yeah, I just felt a little more comfortable out there. The timing was much better today. You know, there's still a few pitches where timing was a little off, but for the most part, timing was there. I was able to throw some good changeups today, even threw some good curveballs. So, I got the pitches that I needed to work on today, and, like I said, timing was there, so felt much better.
Is it a little tougher for you to get that timing down because you have so many moving parts in that windup?
Yeah, that's why I try to slow it down, just so I get everything, timed up right. But I've been doing it for a while now, so I think I've gotten it down. Obviously, you take some time off in the off season, and it takes some time to get back into it. But, that's what this is for, get your timing down, your pitches. So I'm feeling better.
You didn't throw a lot of pitches, but that one at-bat with Revere, he seemed to be giving you everything. You guys were battling pretty well. Is that a good thing to happen in a spring game?
Yeah, I mean, I was making good pitches to him, and, he's a good hitter, so he's felling him off like he should. It was good and bad. It was fun. Obviously you want to try and get guys out with one pitch, but that's going to happen. You're going to go through that the entire year, so it's good to see it now.
Do you have a preference of whether you start or relieve?
Well, I think everybody would love to start. I want to start. It's, what I've kind of done my entire life, and even though I've had a lot of time in the pen as a big leaguer, I always want to be a starter. So I'm working as one. I'd like to be one, but if the opportunity is not there, then it's not there. Whatever I have to do to help these guys out, that's what I want to do.
And what Marco Estrada probably winds up doing is settling in the bullpen and helping these guys out a lot, with Daniel Norris likely being the fifth starter. We'll see as the spring goes on. And as the spring goes on, we will have many more Blue Jays talks for you, including one tomorrow, we hope, after the Blue Jays take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. A 107 first pitch, Aaron Sanchez against Casey Sadler. Remember, spring forward. Sleep fast tonight because you're going to lose an hour of sleep. We're all going to have to be there a little bit earlier. Tomorrow's game is on television as well. Buck Martinez and Joe Siddle. We'll have Alex Anthopoulos in here with us of Jamie Campbell. And we might even have Drew Hutchison doing color commentary for three innings or so. Thanks so much. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. But Blue Jays Talk is back and spring is in the air. We'll see you tomorrow.